Good afternoon. Welcome to the House Commerce Committee. We do have a quorum. If somebody has taken a look at the minutes and would like to move the minutes.
So move, Madam Chair.
Representative Davids moves the minutes from March 15th. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, you weren't here?
No.
That's okay.
Okay, Representative Dean.
Madam Chair, I will note that the minutes actually do say Greg Davids was not here, so they are correct.
Okay.
I didn't put any judgment on why you weren't here. So excellent. I would move that we approve the minutes from March 15th.
All those in favor of approving the minutes of March 15th say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The minutes are approved. You were not here, Representative Davids. He does not approve. I think you approve of not being here.
I don't approve that I wasn't here.
How's the grandbaby? See, we had really important business to take care of. Okay, thank you. We have four bills on the agenda today. Representative Wolgamont, House File 622. Welcome to the committee. I will move that House File 622 be re-referred to the General Register. And Representative Wolgamont, do you have an author's amendment, do I see?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have an author's amendment, the DE1, that I would like to have adopted that just reflects some minor revisions to the language agreed to by the Minnesota Realtors and the Department of Commerce.
Very good. I will move the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. To your bill is amended, Representative.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. I'm Representative Dan Wolgamont and from District 14B, and I'm also a proud member of the Minnesota Association of Realtors. So in that light, I'm here to offer House File 622, which would simplify advertising requirements for real estate licensees. Madam Chair and members, in 2014, the requirement that a real estate licensee, quote, identify himself or herself as either a broker or an agent salesperson in any advertising, was replaced with the requirement that, quote, any advertising by a licensee must include the real estate brokerage name more prominently displayed than the licensee's name. Unfortunately, Madam Chair and committee members, that language has continued to generate questions from some real estate licensees regarding what more prominently displayed means. This bill, HF 622, would replace the existing more prominently displayed requirement with a simpler requirement that any advertising by a licensee must clearly and conspicuously display the real estate brokerage name. The bill as amended reflects agreed upon language between the Minnesota Realtors and the Department of Commerce, and honestly, I'm not aware of any opposition to House File 622. And with that, Madam Chair, with your permission, I would like to present a testifier to the bill, Paul Egger, with the Minnesota Realtors.
Welcome to the committee. You can state your name and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Paul Egger. I'm Vice President of Governmental Affairs with the Minnesota Realtors. We're a trade association with a membership of over 20,000 real estate professionals throughout Minnesota. We support House File 622, and Representative Wolgamont did a great job explaining the bill. So I'd like to thank him and our bipartisan group of co-authors for bringing this bill forward. I would also like to thank the Department of Commerce for working with us on this issue. The amendment, which further simplified the language, was suggested by the department and improved the bill language. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Egger. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one, Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the testifier, Paul. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name.
Egger.
As I'm looking at the new DE amendment, I sort of have two questions. One is, the licensee may include the team or group name, so I'm assuming they're not required to include the group or team name. And then are there any people out there that hold themselves out as salespeople or brokerage people for real estate that aren't licensed? And what does this do relative to them and their impact of practicing real estate without a license?
Mr. Egger.
So, Madam Chair, Representative Dean, the first part of your question, there are basically two parts to the advertising requirement, and the first part deals with advertising by a licensee, and the second part, which you're referencing, is if the salesperson or broker is part of a team or group within a brokerage. So in that case, that part of the language, starting with line 1.7, lays out if you're part of a team within a brokerage, you have to follow 1 and 2 in order for your advertising to be compliant with the statute. So I think you had asked about the word may. And again, this is permissive if the team wants to advertise, they have to follow these, so that's why it'd be a may. Okay. And to your second question, Madam Chair, Representative Dean, you know, in Minnesota we have, this is a licensing chapter, Chapter 82, so in Minnesota we do require a license to sell real estate. There's a distinction, you don't have to be a realtor. A realtor is something that, you know, members like Representative Wolgamott choose to follow a code of ethics and to be a member, but you can also have a real estate licensee who's licensed by the state of Minnesota but isn't a member of ours.
Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, I could ask what clearly and conspicuously means, but I know that we're then going down a rabbit hole that we just tried to fix, so I won't.
Thank you, Representative Dean. Could you, Representative Wolgamont or Mr. Egger, kind of talk about what this looks like to the consumer? What are we going to see in terms of the for the lay people who are out there seeing these advertisements on bus stops and billboards and newspapers?
So, Madam Chair, good question. I mean, in the real world, what you'll see is if you're looking at advertising by a real estate licensee, you should be able to see clearly from looking at it which broker that licensee is licensed to. So in Minnesota, if you're a real estate salesperson, you are licensed to a brokerage, and that's where you park your license. So the way this operates is we want to make sure that the consumer, if you're seeing a billboard or bus advertising or a business card, that when the consumer looks at that information, they see not only the licensee's name, but they can clearly see who that licensee is licensed to in terms of a brokerage.
Thank you. And could you describe a little bit more what change that might reflect, or do you think it will reflect many changes at this point?
Well, Madam Chair, we don't think it'll change anything for the vast majority of real estate licensees. The question, you know, is actually coming from, I would say, probably a small subset of our members that really are uncomfortable with the ambiguity that more prominently displayed, presented in terms of how large the brokerage name or how the brokerage name had to appear. So in the real world, we don't see this being a major change.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And Representative Wolgamont, did you?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just to add further clarity, I don't think it's going to change too much other than, you know, realtors, we're very proud of our code of ethics and the ethical professional standards that we hold ourselves to. When we're designing, you know, a billboard or a banner, and we're working with the designer, and they're doing things, and we say, well, this needs to be more prominently displayed than that. Well, how do you, you know, that's hard to define. We want to make sure that we're following the rules and being ethical. I think this just kind of makes everyone feel, you know, have more certitude that we are abiding by the law, that we are doing what's best for the consumer in a way that kind of removes any questions on that end of it, while at the same time making sure that it's clear to the consumers who we are and which company we're working for.
Thank you for that. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of other things in the way of background on this. Why this is in statute and where the supervisory responsibilities come from the broker, is they have to provide adequate supervision, and part of that is to let the consuming public know who they are working with. And so I'm going to go back and use one of our members who had raised a question earlier, because it's really going to kind of rhyme fairly nicely. So Representative Dean works for Real Estate Brokerage X, and Representative Dean and two or more of the licensees at that particular Brokerage X decide that they want to form a marketing group together. So they're going to call themselves Team Dean. And they're going to market underneath that, and they may have a logo and the like on that. And so when they go out and they advertise, if they advertise simply under the banner of Team Dean, that is misleading to the public. They don't know. They may infer that Team Dean is actually the brokerage that they would be doing contracted services with. When it's not, it's Brokerage X. And so this became part of statute because there were licensees that were not putting the name of the brokerage in there, thus causing confusion with the consuming public. Who are they actually responsible to? Who is their fiduciary? And when we take a look at that situation, the statute was changed in 2014 to say more prominently displayed. And that becomes an interpretation through the department and through enforcement. So does prominently displayed mean right in the center? Does it mean a different color? Does it mean on the top of the page? Does it mean more than 50% of the ad? And so what this legislation attempts to do is to simply say that if you look at that ad and you go, oh, there's Team Dean, services available at Brokerage X, or Brokerage X is pleased to be able to be offering services of those types of things, so the consuming public actually knows who they are working with as their fiduciary.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. I know more about real estate advertising
than you'd ever wanted to know.
Thanks
just
to
a
you,
follow-up, Madam Chair, from Friday's, you know, Tim Wonky days. So,
appreciate it.
The other question that I have is the original bill, Representative Ogemont, had an effective date of August 1st. Your DE amendment doesn't have the August 1st effective date. I'm assuming that you still want it to default to August 1st, which is what state statute would do, but I just wanted to make sure since there was not an effective date in the DE1 amendment.
Representative Wolgamont.
Madam Chair, Representative Driscoll, that's correct. That's our intent.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamont. Any follow-up, Representative O'Driscoll? All right, thank you. Further discussion from members?
Madam Chair, I just like the name Team Dean.
Team Dean. Okay.
Mayor of Minneapolis.
Thank you.
Representative Dean, I will be collecting royalties at the end of the meeting.
All right. It is the Commerce Committee. With that, with seeing no further discussion, I will renew my motion that House File 622 as amended be referred to the General Register. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and you are on your way, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Committee.
Next up, House File 685, Representative Elkins. Looks like we have a couple. Mm-hmm. And Representative Elkins, it appears that we will be acting on the Senate language on this. Did you want to make a motion to re-refer Senate File 131 to HHS policy?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is bill is coming to us from the team of Draheim and Jensen in the Senate, and so the motion will be to refer this to HHS policy as it is.
All right, Representative Elkins, any amendments to your bill? Or
there are none.
All right.
Keeping it clean.
Yep.
This is pretty straightforward. Basically, outpatient clinics are increasingly, somewhat sporadically, tacking on separate facility fees when you have a procedure performed at an outpatient clinic. And basically, all this bill does is say if they're going to do that, they have to tell you about it first. This bill passed the Senate 63-0.
Okay. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak for or against this bill?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Graves. Oops.
Madam
Representative
Chair.
Davis.
Just a point. The House rules he cannot refer to the other body. And whatever the Senate did, we really don't care.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Davis. Mr. Graves. Welcome to the committee. You can state your name and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's Bentley Graves from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Thank you to Representative Elkins for bringing this legislation forward. This is very similar to and in some respects builds upon legislation that we had worked on last session to ensure that that patients who are looking for a good faith estimate on a procedure that they may want to have done get that in a timely manner, but also that good faith estimate includes the listing out of any facility fees or other fees that might be part of that. This takes it a step further, and rightly so, and as Representative Elkin said, these fees do add up, especially when you take into consideration the fact that increasingly Minnesotans are taking on more and more of the cost of their care on themselves in out-of-pocket costs. In Minnesota plan design has shifted more to higher deductibles than is common in most other states and in the national average, and so increasingly in Minnesota, consumers are taking on more of this cost on their own, and so we believe that's important for them to have as much information as possible at their disposal in managing their care and managing the costs associated with the care, and we believe that this bill takes us another step in that important direction, and we thank Representative Elkins for bringing it forward. But thank you for the opportunity to testify and offer our support.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to comment on the bill? Seeing no one? Members, any questions? Discussion? Seeing none? Final word, Representative Elkins.
Madam Chair, no, I'll just reiterate the motion that we're going to forward Senate File 131 to the HHS Policy Committee.
Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and you're on your way to policy, sir. Next up, 1373.
Yes, for this one, I'm going to be joined by Matt Schaefer from Medica. This is a provision that was also included in the National Association of Insurance Commissioners cleanup bill that we did last week, so it's kind of redundant in that respect, but this is a belt and suspenders approach. And I think the appropriate motion here is to refer this bill, 1373, to the General Register.
Very good. So Representative Elkins moves to re-refer House File 1373 to the General Register. Do you have an amendment to this bill?
Yes, there is an amendment which we can consider an author's amendment.
Okay, you can move the author's amendment and we can take that up.
I'm going to let Mr. Schaefer present this.
We should maybe move the author's amendment and get it on there. So
yes.
Would you like to move the A1?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Elkins moves the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. Any discussion to that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Spring has sprung. We've got silly. Okay, to your bill as amended, Representative Elkins. Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Matt Schaefer. I'm the government relations team for Medica. As Representative Elkins mentioned, this language was actually included as part of House File 2051, which the committee reviewed this past Friday. However, to give you a little background on the language, this is a federal conformity language. Back in 1990, Congress passed and the President Bush signed into law a law setting parameters around regulating Medicare supplemental products. Three states in our country already had laws in the books that perform this function: Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Wisconsin. One of us still needs a Super Bowl ring. of those, one of the criteria maintaining that waiver is that we have to pass federal conformity language. Sorry about that, Joe. Usually they're not that funny. One of the criteria is whenever the federal government makes changes, we have to make federal conformity changes. So in 2015, Congress passed the Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act, and one of the changes in there was carriers such as ourselves are no longer allowed to cover that Medicare Part B deductible. So what that means for your constituents is that's right, it's an annual deductible right now, it's $185. Medicare Part B typically covers about 80% of out-of-pocket costs for patients. So what this is going to look like for your constituents is if, for example, one of your constituents had a total knee replacement in an outpatient setting and the total cost for that procedure was $50,000, under current policies, we can cover that $10,185 that would currently be expected of the patient. As of 1/1/2020, we'll no longer be able to cover that $185 deductible. This language was crafted by House Legislative Council. We appreciate the work doing that. And the amendment came at the request of the Department of Commerce. We appreciate your consideration.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one, members, any discussion? Seeing none. Representative Dean, I see no discussion. with that, Representative Elkins renews his motion that House File 1373 as amended be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails, and you're on your way. Thank you. Next up, Representative Katiza Watoon with House File 1578. Do I need to say more? Sam. Welcome to the testifiers table, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Would you like to move your bill? It looks like it's going to the General Register.
Yes, absolutely. I would like to move HF 1578 be re-referred to the General Register.
Very good. Representative Katiza Watoon moves House File 1578 be re-referred to the General Register. Is there an amendment to your bill?
There's not.
Very simple, very easy. To your bill, Representative.
Thank you. This is a credit union bill. I'm a credit union member. Lots of people across the state of Minnesota are. Essentially, this is an update to some of the statute to get state law into conformity with some of the updated federal legislation. And I'm going to leave the rest to my testifier.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the committee. You can state your name and proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. My name is Ryan Smith. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Credit Union Network and the 1.7, almost 1.8 million members in Minnesota and the 106 credit unions that we all represent. First, let me take the opportunity to thank Representative Katiza Watoon and our other co-authors, Representative Haley, Representative Carlson, and Representative Kosnick, for introducing the bill. Basically, what this bill does, members, is to bring state statute into compliance with some changes at the federal level regarding credit union mergers, as well as also into compliance with some changes regarding federally chartered credit unions to state chartered credit unions. It's pretty straightforward. The Department of Commerce, this was done in consultation with the Department of Commerce. They are supportive of the issue. I'm happy to take any questions, but it's a pretty straightforward bill on what it does and just needed to get into compliance with federal statutes. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify for or against this measure? Seeing none, members, is questions for the testifiers or discussion? Seeing none, with that, Representative Katiza Watoon renews her motion that House File 1578 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion prevails. You're on your way.
Thank you very much.
Isn't it? That's our calling card, Representative. So, members, you probably have seen the announcement that we are not meeting tomorrow. Enjoy your afternoon. With that, we will definitely be meeting Tuesday of next week because we would miss each other. So with that, members, we're adjourned. Enjoy your afternoon.